Good morning. Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. It's great to see everyone this morning. I'm very excited because a week from today we're going to be having our International Sunday. We gotta try that again. We got word on Friday that this week Meadow Creek is going to be replacing the stage, the floor of this stage. And so we're not going to be able to be inside here. So as a result of that, we're going to be right across in the front gymnasium. Okay? We're going to be across. And we're going to sit on one side of the gym. You can seat 1,000 people. Amen? And so I know some of us can't make it down there. You guys are going to be seated on chairs up on the upper level, but the rest of us, we can come in through the doors here, right across, and we'll make our way down the bleachers, and we're going to be sitting on the bleachers. Okay, guys? All right? The kids will be in their classes, the elementary school kids, all the middle school kids, and the high school kids will be with us in the gym. All right? And we still need to get up extra early next week to reheat whatever it is we've made or make our dishes, make them over with, bring them all the way to the front, drop them off, and then make your way into the gym. Okay? Are we together? Yes. So it's very critical that this week we follow up on our friends and people that we've invited. It's very, very critical. Still the same venue. We're going to have ushers out here, and they'll direct people. Instead of coming this way, they'll go in the opposite direction. So that's not going to be too complicated. Are we together on that one? So it's going to be right here, and we'll start promptly at 10 o'clock. So let's get our kids into their classes, and let's make our way into that place. Next Sunday is going to be a great, great time. And my very good friend, Hervé Florent, from the San Antonio Church, will be our guest speaker next week. Amen? I also want to use this opportunity to remind those of us that have not had our pictures taken to please make sure you do that after church in the lobby. I see Andreas, and he will take care of that for you. My wife and I want to say a big thank you to you for all the cards that we received last week and the well wishes. It was very humbling just reading through those things. And I, for one, know that 10 years has gone by very, very quickly. For me, it seems just like 3 or 4 years. But we love you guys. We love this congregation. And we're thankful to God for everything that he's doing in our church and in our lives all together. Amen? Before I get into Mark chapter 9, I want to read something to us. It says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. God is good. This morning, Daniel Beavers and Rupert Rose are very excited to announce their engagement to the marriage. Can I have all of you stand up? He came down all the way from the Commonwealth of Virginia to find his bride. We're very excited for you. We're very happy for both of you. And I guess wedding plans will be announced later. But they got engaged yesterday, and we're very excited for both of you. Amen? I've titled my lesson this morning, Everything is Possible. So go ahead and be turning to Mark chapter 9. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Everything is possible. Mark chapter 9, We'll begin reading from verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought to you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, he throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer and fasting." I also want to use this opportunity to introduce a sister visiting from the Ho Chi Minh City Church in Vietnam. Quinn, can I have you stand up? Welcome. In this passage, we read about this father who brought his son to Jesus. And as I read this week, I was thinking, okay, if this was like right now, in 2014, with all of our email and all these modern gadgets that we have, Jesus would have replied him out of the office. Because he wasn't in the office. If you read the passage before this one, he had taken Peter, James, and John, and they had gone up to the top of a mountain. And the Bible tells us that on that mountain, he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white. And they saw him in all of his glory. And there, on that mountain, this is not part of the lesson, Elijah appeared. And Moses appeared. People that had been dead for hundreds of years. And Peter and James and John saw them. So much so that Peter didn't even know what to say. I mean, if all of a sudden Moses were to appear in your bedroom with Jesus, you wouldn't know what to say either. Because we read about what Peter said. Peter said, it's good for us to be here. I'll make 3 shelters. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And we read that and go, what was he talking about? If it was you, if it was me, I wouldn't have made sense either. Okay? I mean, just imagine the wonder of that. That's the background. Where Jesus was basically on the mountain when this man brought his son to the apostles to heal him. And they couldn't. And notice what the man said. He says, "I asked your disciples to drive out the spirits, but they could not." Notice Jesus' response. "Oh, unbelieving generation." It says, "How long Shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Some of the translations talks about this, about how long must I suffer with you? How long? It says, bring the boy to me. Now again, notice, once Jesus gets on the scene, everything changes. Once you bring Jesus into the picture, things are going to start happening. Again, you see the demon. When Jesus says, bring the boy to him, says, so they brought the boy. We don't know who did, but a bunch of people brought the boy. When the demon saw Jesus, what does he do? He threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, he's rolling around, and he's foaming at the mouth. The demon tried his old tricks. Remember, this has been going on from the kid's childhood. Again, we don't know how old this boy is. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know he's a boy now. So we're assuming maybe he's between the ages of 6 or 10 years old. And this has been going on year in and year out, month in and month out. But notice again, Jesus is not intimidated by the demon. The demon tries his old tricks. He didn't realize that old tricks don't intimidate Jesus. Old tricks don't work with Jesus. And the father, Jesus goes, you know what? How long has it been like this? How long has this been going on? And the father tells him, from childhood. Again, we don't know how long this kid has been suffering. The father goes, if you can, you can make him well. And Jesus goes, if you can? That's the modern day of saying, excuse me? What did he just say? He had forgotten who he was talking to. The God who spoke this world into existence. The God who caused things that are not as though they were. The God that has all power. Where there is nothing that is impossible for him. And you're saying, if you can? It was an insult. If you can. Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. It's amazing how time has a way of eroding our faith. When something has been going on for a long time and hasn't changed, even Christians start doubting God. I start wondering if things can ever be different. We give up hope and we start doubting. Look in Genesis chapter 18. Hold your place in Mark 9. We're coming back there. But look in Genesis 18. Again, a story we're very familiar with, but I want us to look at it again this morning. In Genesis 18, you know, in Genesis 12, God had made several promises to Abraham that he was going to be the father of many and all that stuff. But in Genesis 18, three visitors come to visit Abraham. And in verse 9, they said, where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. So now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I not have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh.
But he said, yes, you did laugh.
Again, notice how God repeats the promise he had made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God had promised him I was going to make him into a great nation. Kings were going to come from him. At the time God made the promise, the Bible tells us that Abraham was 75 years old. So much so, the Bible also tells us that Sarah, his wife, had passed the age of childbearing. And God shows up at this point. He's actually 99 years old. In other words, 24 years has gone by. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. You do the math. You don't have to go to Georgia Tech to figure that one out. Some of us in this room are very smart. This is a simple arithmetic. Addition and subtraction. Sarah is laughing. She doesn't believe that this is going to happen. And she laughed. She kind of chuckled at the idea. It was amusing. And God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? I've always wondered why God waited 25 years to fulfill that promise. And it finally hit me. God did it deliberately so that there will be no doubt about the fact that he was the one that brought this about. You know, it doesn't take a lot of faith for a young man in the prime of their life and a young woman married to have a son or to have a daughter. That doesn't take faith. If anything, that's what we expect to happen. But tell me, grandmama is going to have a baby? When in the prime of her life, she couldn't have kids? Now that takes faith. That takes really trusting in a God who has all the power and who can do the impossible and who does the impossible day in and day out. You know, Gary referred to it this morning. It's been very heartbreaking. I can't imagine what these families of these guys that were on this plane heading to China, what they're going through. They're still looking for that plane. Now, a couple of days ago, they said something about some Chinese freighter heard the pings from the black box. And I'm praying that's really true. The Indian Ocean is a big place. They may never find the wreckage. And every time I turn on the news and just seeing that stuff, all I've been praying is, God, I pray your spirit guides them to where that place is. Because he knows where that wreckage is. He knows. He saw it happen. That's the only person that knows. And another thought went through my mind. Here we are for 30 days. We can't find the plane. Where are all these quote-unquote people who tell me they can see the future? Where are they? They're a bunch of liars. They can't see Jack. Where are they? We'll put you on national television. The whole world can see it. Give us the latitude and the longitude. They don't know anything. Only God does. And so that's why you and I, we can be praying that God will show these guys where that wreckage is. Are you with me? But nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. I mean, think about it. What do you think the conversation was like after Sarah got pregnant and had that boy?
Seriously, how do you think the neighbors and the people around the town, it was going to be, hey, see that? Have you heard? I'm serious. I'm sure some of the conversation started, sit down. You are not going to believe this. And I'm sure that people are like, I don't believe it. Until they go and then they see Sarah with her stomach and go, you got to be kidding me. How old are you? Are you Abraham? No, it's not possible. You're not 99. But you see, God did all of that to show us that everything is possible. Now notice. It says again, is anything too hard for God? When God makes a promise, he has the power to bring it to fruition. When God makes you a promise, when God makes me a promise, through his word, he will bring it about. Now, the problem a lot of us have is there are a lot of things that God has not promised us. And then we continue to pray about those things day in and day out. And then we get discouraged and we start doubting. Say, well, God doesn't love me. Well, God hasn't done this. God hasn't done. What? Did he promise that to you? Let me use my example from last week again. I know it was Mike Rowell that brought up the example about jumping out of an airplane. Okay? Well, I'm just going to go jump out of an airplane. I'm a child of God. He's going to catch me before I get down. If you go do stuff like that, just you and I need to talk before that happens. Everything you own, just will it to me, okay? Then you can go jump. Because nowhere in this book has God promised to catch you if you go jump out of an airplane without a parachute. It's not in here anywhere. Are you with me? But if it's in the book, God will bring it to fruition. Like John was reading this morning in his welcome, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart in Proverbs chapter 3 and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. That's a promise from the Almighty. You can take that one to the bank. But you see, if God promises it, he will do it for you. He will bring it about for you. Are you with me? Time has got nothing to do with it. Because nothing is too hard for God. Again, go back to Mark chapter 9. This father is saying to Jesus, but if you can't do anything, take pity on us and help us. Like I said, I believe he was insulting the Almighty. And whether we realize it or not, even as Christians, we do it. We don't look at it that way, but that's exactly what we're doing. When we doubt God. Now, thank God, this man saw his unbelief very quickly. He says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When was the last time you prayed a prayer like that? He says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Brothers and sisters, there are many things that you and I will pray about and pray for. And God doesn't have to always say yes. I was talking to a sister a few weeks ago, and she was really struggling. A sister, who was also a disciple, was battling breast cancer and everything. She went for surgery, did all the chemo stuff, but it didn't work. And obviously, the family was praying. The church was praying for her and everything. And God says, you know what? Uh-uh. And God took her. And she's having this conversation with me, and she's now doubting God's love for her and for her family. I said, well, we prayed. And I looked at her and I said, God answered you. Now, the answer he gave to you was not the answer you wanted. I said, which would you prefer? That your sister still be on this earth, suffering through all that illness? Or be in paradise right now and be enjoying the time of her life? And she just looked at me. She was just looking at me. And at the end, she goes, yeah, you're right. I said, yeah, I know I'm right. See, a lot of times when God doesn't answer something the way we want him to, then again, we start doubting. We start going down the wrong path in our minds. Remember, the battle starts and is lost and won in the mind. That's where it begins. And that's the reason why, that's where Satan goes first. Because if he has you doubting, if he has you thinking, well, God doesn't love me about this, or God can't do this, then it's over. Are you with me? There are a lot of things I pray about that God says, no, you do the same thing. I mean, I'm sitting there yesterday watching this game, and I'm telling you, I said, I can't believe this. They picked the wrong day for the offense not to show up. And I'm looking through my window. I have this big window in my den, and I'm raising my hands and I'm praying. I say, God, please. I said, God, I'm going to be depressed. I said, God, please. I'm begging you. And I'm praying. God says, no. Then eventually it dawned on me. We got some great news in my family yesterday. And that, I said, you know what? God, thank you. And so, my wife and I and my daughters have been praying about, we got the news yesterday, and I said, God, thank you. Thank you. I can't get distracted by, okay, so, you know, I guess for me, if we had lost tomorrow night, that would have been harder to swallow. And I'm rooting for Kentucky now. Hey, SEC, baby. We've beaten them 3 times already. If we won yesterday, we would have faced them again tomorrow. It's hard to beat a team 4 times in a calendar period. So I guess I'm looking at it, God is saving me some agony. Amen. But I bring that up simply. Say, you pray about basketball games? Yes, I do. Okay? Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he listens. Sometimes he says no. I'm sure as I was praying, there are UConn disciples that are also praying. But it's okay. It's just a game. Again, you and I, the Bible tells us not to rejoice that, oh, demons submit to us, but we need to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. And that's what needs to excite you and me. That, you know what, when it's all said and done, I'm going to heaven. Amen? Amen. Write this passage down. Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus says, if you have a seed as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will obey you. He says, nothing will be impossible for you. We got to make sure that whatever it is we're praying for, whatever it is that we're believing, is within the will of God. It's something that God has promised us. Okay? Let me give you another example. You start praying for God to keep you young looking. No illness. I mean, none. No illness whatsoever. Young looking. And so that you never die. I'm talking physically now. Guess what? God is not going to answer that prayer. Why? Because it is outside of his will. It is outside of what he has prescribed. Your will and your desires will not supersede what the Almighty wants to do. So you can pray that all you want. You're going to get older, and one day we're going to attend your funeral. One day you will attend mine also. Are you with me? So I say all that to say, you know what? Even as we pray, even as we trust God, we got to make sure that we're believing something he has promised us. Amen? There is nothing in here that says, you know, God says you're going to have a job every time of your life. It's not in the book. Maybe you've seen it. I haven't come across it yet. Now, there are passages that talk about God says, I will take care of your needs. That you will not go hungry or begging for bread. As a righteous person, I can show you verses on that. But it doesn't say you will have a job all the time. Are you with me? So what happens when we have those moments? We go with the flow. We keep on trusting God. That we don't laugh at God like Sarah did. And we think, well, okay, he's forgotten about me. He doesn't love me. And so this is not going to happen. Stop it. Stop insulting the Almighty. Get rid of, if you can. If anything, start praying, Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. We know this passage, but I want us to read again. Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 11. Sorry, Hebrews 11 in verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. I am responsible for the character of my faith. You are responsible for where your faith is at. Faith does not make things easy, it makes them possible. You see, every man in here, every woman in here has some level of faith. This father in the story had some. That's why he brought his son to Jesus, thinking he was going to meet Jesus. Jesus wasn't around. Like I said, he was out of the office. But he said, well, the disciples are here. They're just as good as him. Hey, help me drive out this demon. And they couldn't do it. But the point is, our faith must increase. Our faith is such that it needs to continue to grow. Faith, like love and hope and holiness, needs to be progressive. It needs to be growing. It can't stay at one level. If your faith or your hope or your love is at one level and it stayed there for a long time, you're in trouble. It needs to be increasing. Now you say, how does that increase? Through the scriptures. Romans 10, 17. The more you read this, the more you practice it, the more God shows you that, you know what, I am God. And I know what I'm doing, and I know what I'm talking about. Faith is laying hold of the things God has promised us. You know this, what they call themselves, progressive insurance? They have this spokesperson called Flo. She's all over the place. And believe it or not, those ads are very effective. They're in the top five as far as insurance companies is concerned in this country. But it's because of those ads. So I say that to say, every time you see that ad, progressive, think about your faith. Think about where your faith needs to go. Think about where your love for God needs to go. Realize that everything is possible. That we're constantly growing in our faith. Faith is laying hold of the things that God has promised. Faith remembers who made the promise, number one. Number two, faith remembers why the promise was made or given. And number three, faith remembers that God has never failed. Faith is simply taking God at his word. Amen? You say, well, this guy came in Mark chapter 9, wanting his son to be healed. Where's the promise? Again, write these verses down. Exodus 15, verse 16. Exodus 15, verse 16, where God says, I am the God who heals you. Again, if you go read the passage, though, in context, the condition is obedience to his word. In Psalm 103, verse 3. Psalm 103, verse 3. The Bible talks about how God heals all our diseases. Not some, all of them. Write this verse also down. Psalm 147, verse 3. It says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's what God does. That's a promise. If there's no faith, guess what? No blessing. You got partial faith, partial blessing. You got great faith, great blessing. Again, it's not rocket science. You know, it's easy to believe in God and God does something for you. The question is, would you continue believing? In this church, on this particular midweek service, they got up, they were sharing good news, they were giving their testimonies of how God has worked in their lives. And this young man got up and was sharing about how God has blessed him financially. And he shared about how many, many years ago, when he was a young person, he had just made his first dollar. And he was listening to this missionary at this service. And the man was basically talking about how, you know, people need to give their monies so that others will get a chance to hear the gospel. And he said, you know, if you give your money, other people will get a chance to hear the gospel and God's going to bless you. And so this young man, very excited, put in his dollar. And he got up and said, you know, today I'm a millionaire. And I attribute that to, obviously, God's blessings. And God is good and God is wonderful and everything. And so he comes up and he sits down. And this old lady is sitting right behind him. And she kind of leaned forward and says, wonderful story. I dare you to do it again. You see, it's easy to do something the first time. Faith is, will you do it again? Oh, you gave your dollar, you gave your $1, that's all you had. I dare you, all that money you have now, give it all away and let's see what happens. See, that's the true test of faith. Would you do it again? Would you believe it again? Knowing that God will come through. Notice at the end of the passage, Jesus says this comes out only by prayer and fasting. And so, again, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what it is, what your need is now. Maybe it's you trying to be a certain kind of husband. Maybe it's you having a great marriage. Maybe it's somebody that you've been reaching out to for a long time becoming a Christian. I don't know what the issue is. I encourage you, if the promise is in the Bible, Don't only just pray about it, start fasting about it. I'm talking about consistently. And then you watch what happens. I'm not talking about, oh yeah, I'm going to fast today. And then, you know, you don't do another fast for 12 months. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of things that, you know, every week, you pick the day. I'm not going to tell you what day to pick. When you're going to be praying about that thing and fasting about it, whether with your wife or with your roommates or whatever, consistently, and then you watch the Almighty God does. Amen? Why? Because everything is possible for him who believes. We'll see you Thursday night. God bless.